It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, our next guest is a good friend of mine, Mr. Tony Pennybaker. I've fished with Tony a lot in the last couple of years down at Lake Tewakene. And Tony actually and his son just made a hike up to Guadalupe Peak, the highest point in Texas, I do believe. We're going to talk about a little hiking and then a lot of catfishing. Tony, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Luke, and good morning.
Good morning to you, sir, and congratulations. You know, I know that's a feat to that's the Guadalupe Peak is the highest point in the state of Texas. How high? Do you recall how high that is?
It's 8,700 sea level, just under 88, I believe.
Uh-huh. You know,
just under 88 sea level. It's the highest point in the state of Texas.
Yes.
Guadalupe Mountain Range.
Yes, it is. And there's a monument up there, isn't it?
It is, and it's dedicated to American Airlines, no doubt.
Is that right? Well, tell me, we're going to talk catfishing in a minute, I promise, but this is really intriguing to me. Folks, Tony and his son, they're major hikers. They go up in Arkansas and some of the, some remote areas. And Tony, on this trip, you guys, did you camp? I noticed it looked like a sleeping bag or whatever. Did y'all camp along the way? Or did you have to?
We did camp one night. Of course, we did the peak, the mountain peak, that's one trail.
Uh-huh.
The first day we did that took us 10 hours. We started at 4:30 in the morning by the moonlight.
Uh-huh.
And hiked up, took our time. We wasn't in a hurry, you know.
Right.
So we went to the peak and took pictures and sat around and looked at it. It's awesome up there.
I mean, you can literally see
for, I don't know how far, but I mean a long, long ways.
I'm sure.
And, the next day we went and applied for a backcountry camping permit.
Mm-hmm.
And the canyon, they call McKittrick Canyon, is real beautiful this time of year with all the fall colors. Lots of people hike it, and there's campgrounds 7 miles up there. So you've got 3 miles. I might have this backwards. It's either 3 miles through the canyon, which is pretty flat. It might be four.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the other way around. Then you start up. You literally climb the canyon wall. And that's a really amazing hike. And it's not for the faint at heart. The trail narrows. At times, don't seem like it's wide enough for somebody to come through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you look down and think, boy, one slip up here and it's over.
Like a mountain goat, yeah.
Their camping gear, I'm going to try to reduce the weight. I think I was toting 35 pounds in my pack.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent the night on that hike there. It's 70. It's over 7,000 feet to the top of it.
Yeah, that's
quite
that's
a climb. It's quite a deal. Well,
you know,
we hiked for 6-7 hours, and then come down the next morning.
You know, Tony, I guided up in Colorado archery elk hunts for six or seven years. And the elevation we were hunting, that we hunted each year, was a ranch, private ranch, north of Steamboat Springs. But, we had to deal with some pretty steep terrain at times, depending on where we hunted. But it was like walk for, 30 minutes to get to an area, or walk for 45 minutes. It wasn't a steady climbing like you guys did, but... Now, hats off to you, man. I know that was an experience that you or your son will never forget. And you saw some sights. Did you see any game, mule deer, anything, javelinas or anything?
We'd seen that. We ran in down in the canyon. We did run into some javelinas.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't see any deer. Now, we met some people that had photographed some deer.
Yep.
They saw them, but we didn't, rattlesnake. We come across one rattler in the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little fun with him and moved him out of the way.
Yep.
Over to the side.
Yeah.
Where he wouldn't bite nobody else. But
Exactly.
He was sunning in a sunny spot.
Yeah.
He really didn't even pay no attention to us till we messed around and got too close to him taking pictures, and he got a little bit riled up.
He said, wait a minute, I'm a rattlesnake. You're not supposed to do this to me. Yeah.
After that, it was like, let me look under here before I walk by that spot.
Yeah.
It took a while to kind of get my mind off of it, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, buddy, because I've been there with them. It's like a black cloud floating around in your brain when you say, well, if he's here, I know dang well there's some more around here somewhere. So, yep. Well, anyway.
You see that bent root or something, you know, it's kind of twisted.
Yes.
Out of the corner of your eye.
Yep.
You sort of get that heart race.
I understand. I've done it. It's happened many times. Well, Tony, anyway, hats off to you and your boy there. That was, I know it was something you, neither one of you will ever forget, but that's, I know, you know, you saw some sights that you're just not going to see from the road, you know? So,
oh, no.
Oh,
no,
that's right.
You just have to do what we did to experience it.
Yeah, and
something,
also
something else.
Yes, and that's some time spent together that you'll never forget, too. I promise you that, you know, because you're not focusing on anything but that next step and, you know, where you're going. I know that much. Tony, the catfishing, I've been watching your post on Facebook, you know. The blue catfish looked like a last one I saw, you guys caught a bunch of, looked like eater size by that. I couldn't tell exactly how big, but looked like it's really good for the, if you wanted to target eater size catfish down at Tawakoni, blue cats we're talking about, you can do pretty good, I reckon.
It is. The birds are back. Mm-hmm. And, where the bird sits, you can catch a lot of fish.
Yeah, for sure.
And the blues, now they're a little bit slow yesterday, but we still had 3 gallons of trimmed out meat to eat. I think it was 26 fish, but we've been catching anywhere from 25 to 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they're mostly 2 to about 5 or 6 pounds, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good many slot fish over 20 inches up in the 23, 24 pound inch range, you know,
yes,
in length there.
Yeah.
Nice fish for eating. That's best you can do. Pretty clean fish, you know, and you catch a channel cat or two also.
Yep. Yep.
But mainly you're catching the blues.
Well, it's been pleasant weather and everything for that. Let's think about or talk about the round of birds, you know, right now. They're back, you said that, and
mm-hmm.
I've been over the bridge. I've seen them here there at Tawakoni a week or so ago back in there. Keying on fishing around the birds, sometimes, you know, you have to know where this hump is or where that drop-off is. But the birds, you know where they are. You can see them. They're a big plus in the fall, aren't they, in fishing around them. Maybe go into how you do you just, you know, I fished with you enough to know kind of how you do it, but just get in areas with heavy birds. The droppings from the birds is why the catfish are there, I'm sure. So you just kind of tie up or anchor up or use your power pole deal and just make some long casts, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, of course, I'm using power poles,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, you can anchor, tie to a tree, it don't matter. And just get stationary as you can and throw out lines. Of course, you know me, I use poles all the way around the boat, target.
Mm-hmm.
I just target those trees, and you're going to lose a little bit of rigging because there's a lot of trees you can't see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But fishing's good. Just throw them out and sit and wait. I fish in 30-minute cycles, you know, when I'm in there, so I don't waste too much time. You might get 2 on this 30 minutes. You may get 10 in the next 30-minute stay.
Yep.
Next spot you stop.
Right.
I saw a couple of boats in which I'll do it some, too. They were using cork rigs,
mm-hmm.
trolling around in and casting for cats, like I do sometimes.
Yep. That's fun.
It looked like they were having a lot of success doing that.
Yeah, and that when you use a cork, a lot of times I've done that kind of fishing with weighted corks like you use down on the coast, you know. But
mm-hmm.
you
That's
know,
what I use.
Do you? Yeah, and that way mm-hmm. it'll make a splat, you know, you can put that, put your cut bait, you know, shad or what, you know, whatever you're using there, you know, a couple of foot below it, really, and stay back and cast up there. And when it hits under those trees, that the cormorants, especially where they've been roosting, I know it's bound to be, Tony, like ringing the dinner bell for those catfish. They say, well, wait a minute, there's something to eat up there. Yep.
When it hits, I mean, usually you troll up to a tree that's full of cormorants, and they're going to fly before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll be dropping in the water and
yep.
making noise and taking all. But that first cast that you make, straight up there underneath that tree, and it don't have to be right against it, just anywhere around it. You better start turning the crank and getting that slack out of line, because it ain't going to sit there too long.
That and there is something me and you and most, I know very few fishermen that don't get excited when that cork goes under. There is something very exciting about that.
It is.
That kind of fishing, you know. Throw that thing in there and then wham. But you're right, and I've done enough of what you're talking about, not near as much as you, of course, but I've been there many times around those tree roosts, you know, throwing up. And, that first cast, and you might catch, like you say, you might catch a bunch of them. It's not over when that first cast is made,
uh-uh.
You know, but the chances are real high that that first cast is going to get sucked under, that cork's going to go under the water.
You never know what's so beautiful about that and adds to excitement is you never know what size fish is fixing to hit that thing.
Yeah.
You know, you may fish for 2 hours and be catching 2 to 5, 6 pounders, and then that next tree, when you throw it up there, it's one of them 30, 40 pounders tags it, and
yeah.
the fight is on.
You know,
you never know, you know, they're all up there.
Exactly. Tony, a blue cat, and I've noticed this in the summer, and I'll tell you where I noticed it, is the area we call the woods. You know, I don't know, it might be a half a mile or so out from the 2 mile bridge there.
Mm-hmm.
The woods, when the lake is low, it's all woods. You can see trees out there. I've been
right.
there in the summertime fishing, you know, and have blue catfish up on top of the water there, you know.
Right.
But a blue, what I'm getting at, he will suspend. He will come up. Where a channel cat, I've never seen them do that a whole lot, you know. I guess they do.
You're not, you catch as many, but in the deeper water, you seem like out there in them woods, in the big woods, what I call them, out on the south side of the bridge,
yes,
where there's
yeah.
lots of trees.
Right.
You hit pocket out there, where you'll catch some pretty nice channel cat. When you catch channels in that kind of water, they'll be good ones.
Well, Tony, it is fun catching those catfish under a cork. We're about out of time, buddy. Folks can find you on Facebook, or they could give you a call, either one, to go fishing down there at Tawakoni, can't they?
Yep, you can look me up, Thunder Cove, Lake Tawakoni Guide, or just give me a call on my cell phone. It's 903-474-3078. And call me anytime.
Let's give that number one
more
time.
I'm always around.
Oh, you are, Tony. Right. Well, you live right there on the water where you can keep tabs on things. Give us mm-hmm. a number one more time in case somebody missed it.
It's Thunder Cove Guide Service, 903-474-3078.
Well, Tony, thank you a lot for being with us, and I look forward to getting down there with you here, you know, pretty soon and catching some fish around those birds. How about that?
Yeah, you need to come get you some in blues while we're out there.
Folks, this is Luke, and thank you very much for listening today. Remember, you can always contact me through catfishradio.org. Today's show was made possible by Pyramid Air, Air Force Air Guns, maker of the Texan, Smoky Tex Electric Smokers, B&B Charcoal, Platinum Chevrolet, and Platinum Cadillac in Terrell, Texas, Sitemark, maker of the Wraith, Mill Creek Ranch Resort in Canton, Texas, Sea Ark Boats, and Sarton Marine right there on Lake Fork that handles the Sea Ark Boats, Nielsen Specialty Ammo, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.